very, very little science fiction. What I published mainly was adventure and what they used to call psychological stories. And I wrote an awful lot of science fiction that never saw the light of day, never bothered with it very much. But I opened up an old book that nobody's ever looked at, and it's got a complete system of spatial navigation. It tells how you navigate in space, and it goes on and on. It's very precise. And I looked it over, and I wondered at the time why I was so glib about writing this. Well, then all of a sudden I looked at the name of the planet and where it was, and went over to the psychometer and got 2 band drops on it. The name of this planet, the name of the system. A planet Durango in the Sirius system.
Durango? What series was that? What story was
it? Sirius system.
Sirius.
The Kingslayer.
Yeah, Durango.
Durango. Planet, I think, 12. 12th orbit. How nuts can you get? I take a name I thought of 15 years ago or 12 years ago or something like that for a planet, put it on the psychometer, knock the machine off its pins.
Action always precedes thought.
Fact. It does seem to be a fact. That's why I've always had such a struggle with people telling me about imagination, because previously I didn't used to be able to account for what seemed to be pure imagination being so confoundedly factual to me. I used to get puzzled about it. Story after story, though, I've written up big chunks of past lives, and these stories blow, by the way. I'll be running an incident, lickety split, and all of a sudden I'll run into one of these things, crash, and I freeze up, because you see, I was writing on an electric typewriter, and it goes from babbity 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 bap, crash, babbity babbity bap. Great stuff. So naturally, sitting there at this electric typewriter, pounding out a story, would lay the story in as a lock. I go running through this instant, everything's free and clear, till all of a sudden I hit a section of it I've used in a story. Go something back 1522 or something. Sort of. I've used a little section of actuality in a story. You know, I hit the crutch. I'm like, what the heck is this? Work at it for a moment, and then all of a sudden hear this, and blow that out. Yeah, and typewriter. And I wrote a story once called Typewriter in the Sky. I talked about a guy who was living through somebody else's plot in the book. And this guy kept living through this other person's plot.
continuum for yourself.
Yeah, I'm undoubtedly doing one. Well, anyhow, as I'm busy writing this confounded thing, I get up an enormous number of locks all over the place on that confounded typewriter. Nobody's run me through facsimile one. I've been about halfway through it. And, boy, it is really nailed down with that compound. I wrote the first book on Dianetics on that typewriter. And, boy, that first book, I tried to blow it off every once in a while. It was postulates and locks. And it just never has blown. It just won't blow. I started into facsimile one, and boy, it's like running a Mack truck into the side of a mountain. There's that book sitting there.
Still by reading the book, Brian?
Hmm?
Could you do it by reading the book?
Pretty well.
How about the Captain's Farewell and To the Stars? The Farewell Letter to the Stars?
Yeah, well, To the Stars is probably factual as far as life in that kind of an operation is concerned. It's probably very factual. But the stretch of time isn't, and I knew it at the time that it wasn't. I was under orders from the editor to write that.
Letters that came back on it, about the big dissertations on
time. Boy, people really got upset about time factor, because the time factor isn't straight. That isn't true. I was running through one of these incidents, and boy, if I had hit this stuff trying to run it a couple of years ago, on myself. I thought, boy, this is really delusion. I'm really hallucinating now. But I start running through one of these incidents. The hero in To the Stars is an engineer, 10th class, which was their aristocratic and plebeian scale. It started up first class, second class, went on up the line, 10th class. 10th class wasn't very high. But I'm running through this incident like mad, and I don't know where the heck I am. All of a sudden, I come up against Crash, and I start running one where I hang this jacket up on a peg. I'm just running a lock on this jacket. There's a 10 on its collar. Yeah. You know, you think you've got problems. You think you've got problems in processing, but you haven't been commercializing and selling your engrams for years. There's only one that's got me worried. Has anybody here ever read Fear?
Yes, I read
that. Yeah? Well, that's got me worried. By the way, don't let me worry you too much with all of this space opera. Space opera has always been a hobby of mine. I would rather write space opera than anything else. For the good reason that when I first began to research in engineering, my first research was concentrated on reaction engines, reaction motors. And I designed a reaction motor in 1932, which is a controllable V2. It's still on file. It's in an engineering journal. It was tested. This motor was made out of plumber's pipe and cans of liquid fuel and so on. Very, very advanced sort of a reaction engine for this day. But that reaction engine is just a lousy makeshift compared to some of the reaction engines I've been running into in this stuff. I know my reaction motors. And it's no wonder. But the point I'm trying to make is, don't worry about this space opera. If it isn't there, it isn't there for you. That's all. If you want to have lived on Earth and your preclears want to live on Earth, I wouldn't advise you. You're my friends, after all. Don't start walking around and telling people about space opera, because they're not going to believe you, and they're going to say, well, that's just Hubbard, and he's got a lot of space opera, and you've got a lot of science fiction readers in your midst, and these fellows just got super re-stimulated, and all these stories are coming to life, and all that sort of thing. This is the kind of a line that people can throw back at you. What you want to produce is a maximum effect, so you don't bother to explain to your preclear anything about it or anything of the sort. He'll run into the space opera, just as you. Guy calls me up in New York, how do you run such and such and so and so? I tell him how to run such and such and so and so. He calls me up 2 days later and he says, hey, this isn't a real incident. What's the matter with it? Well, I don't know, I'm on this spaceship and I'm standing there at the porthole looking at the planet go by, and they've just given an electric shock to a fella and I feel regret on it. And he's a space opera is all it is. It's just space stuff. He says, I don't want to run that. I don't want to be that kind of a guy. I just want to be an auditor. I just want to make people wow. And he said, besides, I never read this stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It's also interesting, the preponderance of people in this field who have been very interested in science fiction. And it's also interesting that the people that we start swamping up a little bit start coming up with much better electronics than ever before. And people are in this who are interested to a large degree in thought, metaphysics, mysticism, and this sort of a line, who have been very interested in thought. And these two fields are almost continual in their consistency of interest throughout this entire subject. Now, that should remark something to you. Because it was the basic conflict from the data I have to hand, good or bad data. Here was an advanced people. Advanced peoples moving in on simple peoples, or advanced mechanical peoples moving in on advanced thought peoples. civilizations would go out in this why. These people would concentrate on thought. What could you do in the humanities? Or they'd concentrate on mest. What could you do in the physical universe? And you get this cross. Sooner or later, these things would come into conflict. And what is our present drama and conflict in this world right now? The atom bomb, which is the a high level on the mest line, coming into conflict with the humanities. So anybody who has a thought background very thoroughly is quite concerned about the fact that we have no present modus operandi in the society of humanizing man swiftly. Of course, we realize we don't have this. And so the point is that here's this basic conflict demonstrating itself today, demonstrating itself very heavily today. But don't become terribly uneasy about these incidents, but also, for God's sake, please don't dodge around facsimile one as an auditor. Please don't, because this is just cruelty. Actually, now that you know about it, letting a preclear suffer through and agonize around through a birth or through a engram or a tonsillectomy or some automobile wreck, something like that, unless it's an assist, is about of the same order of tying a dog up and then beating him with a chain. Because it's just not sensible. So, whereas you can spend actually less time in running facsimile one. And what you want to do is raise tone. You know, we've been trying and trying and trying and trying to raise people's tone. That's been the big thing. Get them up above this counter-reprimand. Get them up high on the tone scale. Boy, they just go off of those psychometers. They just go off the top of the psychometers. We had to install another switch on this one. And Matheson, since the handbook, by the way, for preclears has reached the coast out there, has redesigned his machine with the switch to throw it on the upper tone band. The machine would not match up. And now that we found facsimile one, yeah, because it's going to go off the first machine, the switch, it's going to go off of that. People will go off the top of that. Just the proportionate rise in tone. That's what we've been trying to do. Now you can demonstrate that this happens. By the way, how do you feel, man? How do you feel? Well, did he run the face around? Mm-hmm. Is it all out? What'd you strike? Heavy effort? The heavy effort just started on. You know why? She got tired. That's all right. We'll catch it and run the rest of the way out. Now, just checking on the number of hours it takes to run this, I can't make an estimate at this time how long you as an auditor are going to take to run this on a preclear. Or you as a case maybe that's been stuck in it for a long time, how long it's going to take to free you out of it so that you can run it. The hours are quite finite. If they went up to 50, I'd be disappointed in any one of you. But I just had a mention here that every time one PC here started into facsimile one, she wound up in birth. Yes. It's the basic on all births. So they start to run facsimile one and then bong, into birth. Now, it might be that she had a definite confusion in her mind as to the fact that really maybe she ought to be running birth. At that moment, somebody better pick this up as a postulate because it might be an auditing postulate. You might have made a decision about it.
I've never even thought of birth. Suddenly,
there was a episode. Well, it's quite birthful.
What are the efforts?
What are the efforts?
Should we run the physical efforts?
Well, you run whatever turns up. The physical efforts you'll have to run eventually.
Is that a good thing to start?
No.
Start on the motion.
Emotion. On the emotion.
Just that to boil off. It's all right to let it boil off.
Oh yeah, you're going to find a lot of boil off on this. You may run it two or three times, and then all of a sudden hit a pit of boil off, and then have 6 hours of boil off. Nothing's but or something like that may happen.
We want us to concentrate on this one incident entirely, as long as we can run something on it.
Well, right now auditing procedure, because I want to see how well you get along with doing this, as much as anything else. But my auditing procedure is to do nothing but what is absolutely necessary on the case to click facsimile 1 and roll it. This means that you may have identical efforts stacked on it someplace. There might be a crunch on the bank one way or the other. There might be something else mixed up with it or impinged upon it so heavily that you have to run it. But you know how much you run it? You know how much you run it? You run it just enough to get to the earlier one, to get to the earlier one, to get to the earlier one, to get to facsimile 1. Yeah. By the way, this is an old technique with n-grams. You get an n-gram, a chain of n-grams, and you just run the n-gram once or twice so that you could get to the earlier time it happened, then run it once or twice. Get earlier time it happened, earlier time it happened, all of a sudden get basic on it, run basic out thoroughly, and the rest of the incidents would blow. Well, there's nothing like facsimile 1 under facsimile 1. There's depth and other things under it, but they didn't hurt us any. Facsimile 1 was a louse-up on the line.
What's the minimal tone range that you could run facsimile 1 on, pre-clear?
I would not even make a guess, because you may have this kind of a setup. You may have facsimile 1 establishing the tone of the pre-clear. He may be in a section of facsimile 1. So to gauge it, you just find out what you can run with it. You just try and run it. Try and run it.
Regardless of tone?
Just try and run it. That's right. Don't get the guy locked up in it. Of course, you understand accessibility is a criterion there. You get a person who is almost psycho, who is never really, can't remember anything real or anything like that. You start running anything like facsimile 1 on them without bringing them up to a rational level, why, you get into trouble, because you can get into trouble any time you run an effort on such a person. So you have to take locks off of it. But that's a very low-tone case. Now, I don't know any big bars. I've only seen one case around the school, by the way, that struck me as a person. This gentleman's gone now. And he was brought well up above that band before he left. You remember this boy? So I don't think tone scale has too much to do as a criterion. We'll know more.
What's the degree of indoctrination necessary to get the pre-clear before he can run facsimile 1? Emotion, effort, thought. How much does he have to know? How aware does he have to be of these phenomena going on?
Very good point. I was going to give a talk later on indoctrination of the pre-clear, but I can answer it right now. There's nothing much to it. What you want to do is make him run a thought. Then make him run a lock. And then see if you can't find an emotion, any kind of an emotion, even if it's determination or something of the sort. Anything that is an emotional state. All right, that's an emotion. He's all of a sudden got subjective reality on this. Now let's run him on an emotional curve of some sort. So he sees that his emotions shift and gets reality on that. And then make him pick up something that's heavy and then run the effort out. And maybe pick up with something that's heavy and run the effort out. Then show him what his effort is in it and then what the counter effort is in it. And if you wanted to do a solid job of indoctrination and training on your pre-clear, so absolutely nothing could go wrong, he wouldn't suddenly go astray, I would leave it at that. Then I would say, all right, there's an incident. Really, one of the best ways to give him reality on him, keep him going off the rails, is throw him on a machine. You take him, throw him on this machine, you say, now, did you ever get hit in the middle of the forehead with anything? Bong! And he says, funny, I got a traumatic. And you say, yes. Well, how long ago was this? Was this last year? No. Was it when you were 4? Little Deb. Oh, yeah, I remember that. He said, I fell down when I was 4. Are we referring to a much earlier incident? Dive. In what order of magnitude of years ago did this thing happen? Hundreds? Thousands? He said, what you doing talking to me about thousands or hundreds of years ago? What are you talking about? You know very well I was born in 1918, and I'll never be born again, and I'll go to hell when I die. And you say, all right, was it tens of thousands? Was it hundreds of thousands? Was it a million? Yeah, I think it was a million. No, it was more than a million. What am I talking about? The machine goes, bzzzing. He says, a million years ago. Shot in the middle of the forehead, a million. What is this machine? Well, it's lie detectors, what the police use. Know whether or not you're telling lies. And when if it doesn't act, why, it isn't true. But if you get a dive like that, that says that's true. I've got the goods on you. It's like if I ask you if you were ever robbed a store or stole anything when you were a little kid. The machine goes, bong. Hey, you say, did you ever steal anything when you were a little kid? Bong. You say, what'd you steal? I never stole anything. I don't ever remember stealing anything. Bong. Well, we just say, well, the machine seems to know more than you do about it. Say, all right, now you take this time you were shot in the middle of the forehead a million years ago. Bong. Oh, I was, wasn't I? When did this happen? You know, a funny thing, I'm getting sick at my stomach. I'm getting nervous about this whole thing. All right, well, just lie down there and start in at the beginning and run right through to the end. Now, you've told him what thought, effort, emotion, where he knows more or less what he's doing with regard to this, but you don't tell him what to run in it. You just tell him to go from the first moment of it to the last moment of it, straight through, and he'll pick up what he can get out of it. Usually what he gets first is some emotion, some sensation, maybe a little perception. Don't press him, because sooner or later you'll run enough emotion out to start getting the effort. And boy, the effort in this thing is a lulu. And you want to get the emotion off, if you can, before you get to that effort, so his tone is up high enough to handle that effort. That would be the main danger, that his tone was low and you chonked him into the effort. Because the effort is heavy. It's like a vibration. Very heavy. So that your face, for instance, feels like a board. It feels stiff. And you say, I'm sure there's a mask or something over my face. Oh, no, there was nothing touching his face. That was the hooker. See? There was nothing touching his face. What there was, however, was a bzzz in impacts. Impacts. And these impacts were arriving so swiftly that they made a solid wall. And, of course, this made them all stuff. Now, sometimes it hit the mouth. Sometimes it hit the lips, throat, and he'll get a tingle. That's his first inkling of it. That tingle's nothing. Before you get through, his lips are going to just about that stiff, see? He's going to say, I wonder how I can get out of this. Or his forehead is going to be stiff, or his eyes will just be staring like, I can't see what's wrong with my eyes. Now, he must know enough about the arrival of counter effort, and he must know that it isn't a vibration in order to appreciate how to get rid of it. And you have to run his effort not to have that as he goes through it, so it starts shaking because he was holding his face very stiff, see? And he can feel in the vibration of it. And then he runs the vibration against himself. And running this vibration against himself will kick it out. And as he goes through the thing. Now, nobody died in the incident that I found so far. It sounded ridiculous a few years ago to have said this, but I haven't found anybody who died in the incident. At first, they're afraid they will, and then they hope they do, and then they don't care. Because it's all over the tone band. The point about it is you've just got to run this thing until you get all the effort out of it. Now, the effort will exhaust out of it, but the effort sometimes will hang the person up. Well, if he's got any sensation of motion around him, and you can get any inkling of something else moving in his environment, the effort will start running. Because he gets this moving, and that makes the effort move. And so it will reduce. We have the tools necessary to reduce this thing. But, for instance, there's this sensation of from this side to this side, from this side to this side. He'll get this change. When he goes through it first, he'll just feel this side turning on, this side turning on, this side turning on, this side turning on. What he'll find out eventually is that there's possibly a squeak in there, an unoiled wheel or something of the sort, because what they've got is a machine, and it moves. If he can get the sensation of that machine flicking side to side, why he'll run the effort. Because you get one thing moving in the incident, and everything else in the incident has to move. You get the idea? In addition to that, I don't know that all these machines were alike. If I run a few more precursors, one of the things that was made the telephone so unsaleable, as I was discussing earlier with somebody, was the fact that it had a crank mechanism on the side of it, and it went whirr, whirr, as you cranked it. Because that's the sound of the generator on this thing. And you crank it, and you can sometimes see somebody's knuckles or somebody's hand motion. And if you can just get that concept of that hand cranking, you can get the thing to moving, and the effort will start to run out. And sometimes it was double crank, like these, remember the Mae West? Well, it's some kind of a generator, manually operated generator, very backward society. Almost as bad as this one. Very, very interesting. You know, with all the sleuthing, with a guy who was supposed to be able to imagine things, to take as many years to find this and the techniques to run it that I've been utilizing in it would demonstrate something as thoroughly loopy as this, because the thing just plain wasn't reasonable. It just isn't reasonable that there could be this much effort that could hit a human being and he could live. And of course, it had to be a very odd kind of effort. Well, it was supersonic effort. It's the black band of the supersonic scale. And that'll cook meat. Now, that's very loopy. A hand crank mechanism has only been known in this society for the last 75 years. And this incident happened a million and a quarter years ago. And so all of its computations, it wasn't anything that you would ever dream up to look for, particularly since it says you're not supposed to throughout. You're not supposed to dream this up. So what we've got here is a map on this thing. And having this map, you can run it. But it will assault your credulity like mad for two reasons. One, my telling you about it is going to re-stimulate to some degree. And two, it says inside it that you're not supposed to have any truck with it, think with it, run it through, pay any attention to it, that it's just you and it's part of you and it's very helpful to you and it's God after all and this is your soul and all it does is louse you up and divide you into parts and do a lot of things, but you have to have it. And half the time, or more than half the time, people went into it in the full belief that it was going to be good for them and make them godly. Yeah, they sold a bill of goods with it. Dirty trick. Yes, sir, we had God before the machine. Now, therefore, while I'm talking to you about this incident and trying to give you as much as I can in briefing about it, and give you as much as I can in its shape and size and general characteristics of the fact, is I know doggone good and well a lot of you are sitting there and not believing it because it's tailor-made to be that way. But let's reach it from this standpoint. Let's reach it from this standpoint. If you've ever audited anyone through engrams that you know full well had the capabilities of destroying a lifetime and found them to be no better afterwards, if you have ever pounded your head against a case hour after hour, if you've ever watched anybody get more and more confused the more times you ran them early, if you've ever run people through past deaths and through the strangest computations imaginable without them getting much better, you can realize, seeing at the same time, that individuals run through these very drastic incidents did get a little bit better. You were producing results. The phenomena was there. The capabilities were felt and inherent in all the people that you were running. And you, therefore, should be able to recognize that it would be something pretty darn weird to throw us as a people. We're basically a very, very strong people. Now, how did it ever come about that we went this far off the rails? But believe me, we're off the rails. Blowing up nations, nationalisms, insane asylums, and everything else. Now, two things can be done with this incident. One, you can unburden it. You can take efforts off of it and get a pre-clear away from it. You can run the handbook on him, or run self-analysis on him, and he has a tendency to come up and get out of it, and so he's better. Or you can audit efforts at random and occasionally accidentally get him into it and make him worse. And it is a sort of a grand tug-of-war, it has been, between the auditor, his efforts, his self-determinism, his valiance in trying to resolve cases, as to how much tag he could play with this incident and still make his pre-clear better, and the choice between that and simply bucking in and running a relatively easy-to-run incident. Shouldn't be any choice. It should be very obvious that the very least that you can do about this incident is to buck the pre-clear into the beginning of it and then just run it for all it's worth straight through and see what happens for yourself. Then get yourself run through the incident. Because now, if we do that, we don't have to ask anybody to believe it. They can look at you and your energy and your smiling face, and they'll know you've been through something, and you'll know it too. At the same time, they'll know how much better it was, so it must have been awful tough. Okay?